Hi, I'm Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice. And Friday nights is something you don't want to miss. From 8:10 till 10 p.m. right here on WWGH, it's Friday Night Live, starring Scott Spears and Bailey Hunt. No topic is too big or too small. Why don't you call them at 740-383-9944. Streaming live at WWGH1071.com. Remember, Friday Night Live. Every Friday night from 8:10 till 10 p.m. right here on WWGH 107.1 FM. Live from Marion, Ohio, it's Friday night. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your hosts, Scott Spears and Bailey Hunt.
And live from Marion, Ohio, it's Friday night. Friday Night Live. Scott Spears along with you, quarter past the hour on this getaway Friday night, along with my... Oh, I was going to give you such a nice introduction there, and you started to laugh.
Well, last week you talked about how we didn't need introductions.
Because Ted introduces us?
Yes.
That is true, but I wanted to give you an introduction because, you know, I don't normally get to give an introduction to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I was going to say
proceed.
Okay, proceed. Proceed very nicely. No, I was going to say, here we are live on a Friday night. It's me and the amazing Bales.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bailey Hunt.
You know people call me that
what?
Now. Bales.
I know, and nobody ever called you that prior to that. I remember the conversation we had when I said, I called you Bales, I think out of the blue.
Yeah.
And you said, nobody calls me that. And you but you said, I like it.
Yeah.
And it stuck.
Yeah, so now random people.
Yeah.
Message me, hi, Bales. And I'm like, what?
But you like it.
Yeah, well, I do. And it's so interesting, though, because it's just like... It's just funny because, I mean, people, like, I really don't know them at all. And
well, it's a good nickname.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, though, because we really, our first conversation was me liking your name.
Right, and now you don't even use
my
name.
And now I don't even use your name. So it's weird that all evolved that way. But I like the name Bailey. I always said if I had a child, that's what I would name it. But,
after your bestie.
After my bestie, that's right. Well, you know what? That's an interesting conversation to have tonight because I think a lot of people don't know what bestie means. What's the criteria? We should have that. That's an interesting conversation.
Okay.
But it is interesting that it eventually... You know why? It's because I give most people a nickname that I'm around for a long time because if your name like has two syllables, it's much easier to one syllable it up.
Right.
That's all that is. But I like it. I like Bales because it makes sense to me. And it is a real word. So.
It is.
Very British tonight.
Oh.
Yes.
I can't speak that way.
Take a little spot of tea.
Oh. I'm like 75% British and I cannot, to save my life, cannot do a British accent.
I've got 70, no, it's not 70, 60... 60-40 English French.
Oh, yeah. Same like Polish, Scotland,
Scotland.
Yeah.
Scottish accent.
And Irish. I feel like it's like 75% English, like British, and then 21% Irish, and then like 23% Irish. 75% English and 2% Scotland/Wales.
It's weird you do that because I saw somebody the other day, they were giving the results of a poll.
Yeah.
I think they were giving it to a politician. And the host was saying, we took a poll of the audience before you came in today, and 50% of the people feel this way, and 40% of the people feel this way, and 9% of the people feel that way.
Well, there's the other percent.
That's right. The politician laughed. And he said, I don't know if your numbers add up there exactly right. And the host looked back at it and said, well, we got pretty close to 100%. I thought, okie doke.
Right. No, I remember it, but I had to, like, really think about it. I knew the last one was 2%, so I had to remember what the 23% was.
Well, one thing I wanted to talk about before we get to the bestie conversation is, you know, I kid you a lot on the show, because that's what radio is to a certain extent. I kid a lot of people. But I want people to know, because I think one of the most important things that we don't do in life that we leave out an awful lot is... recognizing good deeds and good things. And I think for some reason, people, I think people think you're smart, but I don't think people give you the credit for exactly how smart you are. And that percentage thing made me think about
it. Well, I'm making straight A's in college.
That's
right
what
now.
I'm saying. You're in college, right? I don't know how many people, I don't think we ever talked about it.
My lowest grade's a 97.
But you went back to school at 27 years old. You are killing it in school right now. You are still raising your kids, two kids who are not babies. They're grown kids.
Mm-hmm.
You are doing a great job with that.
Technically three.
That's right.
Yep.
And I've spent time around those kids, and those are great kids. You are still working your normal job, 40 hours a week, and mm-hmm. knocking that out of the park. You are a good friend to people, a good daughter, a good family member. How do you do it all? I get exhausted thinking about it.
I cry.
Is that what you do? You cry at night?
No. I actually, it's kind of funny because I am exhausted. Like, so,
yeah, but do it.
Yeah. And I had like 3 assignments due yesterday and I was just so exhausted. But I got off work at 3:45, had a phone call with my son's doctor at 4, and then I took a 4-hour nap.
Well, it's amazing what you are doing and have been doing for the last month or so. I've been so impressed.
Yeah.
And the way you've walked back into school and just knocked that out of the park.
I know. I'm almost done with my first set of classes.
Right.
I have like 2 weeks left.
So, you know, I mean, it no longer even has to be said that you're smart. I mean, all you have to do is pay attention to what's going on. And there's now factual proof that you are smart. So I'm just incredibly proud of you, incredibly amazed by what you're doing. And I think people should know that.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's not easy, for sure.
No, but you'd make it look easy, and that's very cool.
You should watch me while I work.
I've been there when you've done homework.
No, not homework, like actual work. When my kids are running down the sidewalk and I'm yelling at them and my landlord is out there working on my house and probably thinks that I'm like a psycho.
Well, you know what? People are bound to get a little stressed, but life is a balancing act. And it can be very tough at times. And the more things you put on that balancing act, the more difficult it gets. And I think that you have not... One of the biggest things that limits us in life is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And school is a big fear of people, because they don't have to do it. It's not something you have to do.
Right.
Nobody's going to come to you and say, do it. And it costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time. And it takes effort. And you can still fail.
Oh, yeah.
And you had the courage to try again. You had the courage to pay for it. You have the courage to do it. And you're not half doing it. You are knocking it out of the park. So, as far as I'm concerned, you are the person of the month.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's rough. But, no, like, a funny story, though, about my kids. I was screaming at them the other day. My landlord texted me, and, his fiance, and she's like, hey, sorry if you can hear me cussing out here. Because she's like in the back of my house working on stuff. And I was like, I can't hear you. And I was like, hear me screaming at my kids. It's like, it was rough.
Well, I just, you know, I can't imagine because I don't have kids. And I went to college right after high school. And I could not imagine having 2 or 3 kids when I was doing college and then also having to, I mean, I lived alone, but I lived in an apartment because it was just me and I didn't have to take care of anybody else. So I really admire somebody who takes the time, takes the effort, takes the initiative to do what you're doing. And I think your family and friends and everybody who's associated with you should be, I mean, that's a role model. People should, the kids in your family and certainly your own kids and even people who just know you, people should look to them and say, hey, look at what she's doing. You know, don't ever be afraid to try something. Don't ever be afraid to do something because you can walk up to the plate and knock it out of the park.
I just wish I could afford to pay someone to clean my house for me.
That's the only trouble, though.
That, it's rough. Like, my kids destroy it all day long because my work can see when I'm typing. So I have to work like the amount of time. I can't just go back whenever I have time. I have to do it during a certain time period. And so I'm yelling at them. They're not cleaning up anything. They're not doing it. They're just destroying everything. And so on the weeks that they're not there, when they leave, I clean everything up. And then the next morning they get there again. And yeah, it's destroyed.
But again, look at that. It's an effort.
Yes.
It's an effort that you put forth. So that's very cool. And I think that people should really take note of that. And people don't know that. We've never talked about that on air. And I thought that that should be mentioned because I think that's a tremendous, tremendous trait.
If anybody needs a lesson, they just come follow me around for one day.
Right.
I'll teach you how to multitask like no other.
Well, and that you have come from, you know, everybody has adversity in life in some way or another. And you have come from adversities to
oh, yeah.
do this. That is, it really is, you know, no joke. It's something to be very proud of personally for yourself, mm-hmm. to build self-confidence. It's something that other people should take note of and tell you how proud they are of you, because they should be if they haven't said it. And it's just there, and it'll be there forever.
Well, I mean, because if you think about it, like, statistically, I should probably be in jail right now. Because I grew up, you know, like...
Rough.
Well...
Get your rough moments.
Yeah. I mean, I'm 27, so more than half of my life, 15 years of my life, I was abused the whole time. So, yeah, that's more than half of my lifetime right now.
Well, it's interesting we're having this conversation on the air, but I like having conversations on the air. I think that's how radio should be.
Yeah.
And I think one of the reasons we became friends, because we are friends, is that...
Are we? No, I'm just kidding.
Ask me, like, which day, and we'll discuss it. But it's interesting, because one of the first things about you that I was so impressed with, because pretty early on, you opened up about all the things that had happened. And I thought, wow, this seems like a really well-adjusted person for all that to have happened. And I didn't think prison, but I thought, you know, that could have went a completely different direction. That could have ended up being really, really bad. And it didn't end up really, really bad. Matter of fact, it didn't even end up normal. You ended up excelling at things that you're doing.
Right. Well, I mean, like, on top of, you know, the abuse for 15 years, then I was a teen mom, too.
That's right.
So, that was fun.
Well, I just think you have done amazingly well with things that people don't do amazingly well with. And that really should be recognized, because there are a million bad stories out there of people who've really screwed up. And I always say, it's not what you can't control what happens to you, but you can control how you respond to it.
Right.
And I think you've responded more than tremendously.
You know, it's funny, though, because I think that if I wouldn't have become pregnant at 17, then I probably would have spiraled more out of control than I did. Like, the extent of my spiraling out of control after all of that was I got pregnant. And then I was like, oh, I gotta get back to having a good, you know, get back to a normal, good, productive life for my child. So I think that that ultimately saved me, even though most people would think that that, you know, is what hurt someone.
Right. They would. They would think that was a big problem. But again, you know, your kids are fun. I like your kids. And your kids can't be well-adjusted if they've come from a bad place.
Yeah.
And I don't get that feeling. And I also... It has to be hard. And as you said, you're tired a lot. And it is a stressor sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and you know, like, honestly, though, my family is amazing. Because, so today, Caden, for some reason, decided that he likes to golf now. He, like, went one time with his aunt, and then that just became his thing. He likes it, which isn't surprising because he likes every sport that he's ever tried. So, he... has asked my uncle likes to go golfing, and he kept asking him if he could take him one day. Well, today, my uncle came down and asked Caden if he wanted to go. Well, then Austin was upset because he wanted to go, and Austin just turned 5, so he's still kind of too little for that, but instead of going actually golfing, my uncle just took them to the driving range so he could take both of them. And so that kind of gave me a break today, too, while I was working, which was nice.
Well, you know, family is important. It takes a village. And I forget where that came from, but it does take a village. Oh, no one person can do it all. And well, some of the people in your life are there because they're your family. And some people are there because you choose to have them there or they choose to be there. But when you choose the right people, that does make an amazing difference. The people you surround yourself can be the difference between success and failure.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think about it. You know, I think because it's the 6th anniversary week of this station, and I think about being here on day one, and I think the people who... Clearly, we would not be here 6 years later if the people who were picked to round out this family, and I do think of it like a family, were not the right people. They were exactly the right people. It could not have been more of the right people. They're just great people. And yeah, being with them on Wednesday night was so much fun. I was saying to Sean the other night, I was saying, you know, we do only do this twice a year, every year. We do it at the anniversary and we do it at the Christmas party, and everybody comes just like they did on Wednesday. We got to do it more. I mean, I understand those are celebratory reasons, but we've just got to start doing it more, even if it's just to be a special.
Right.
Because we don't all see each other. We come in at different times, but when we're together, we just have the most affection for each other and the most... There was a lot of love in that room on Wednesday. You know, we don't yell at each other. We don't argue with each other. We're a very functional family.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of us.
I know. I was gonna come... but the lady in front of me, that, because I went and finished my tattoo on Wednesday.
Which looks great.
Thanks. Yeah, it looks like completely different, doesn't it?
It looks very cool.
Yeah.
And I listen, I am not a tattoo person.
I know.
I really think that's very cool.
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely love it. But the person that went before me forgot her mask, so then he was running behind. So I didn't get done until 8. When I thought that I was going to get down to, like, 6:45 and be able to get here by, you know, 7:15, 7:30. So, yeah, I didn't quite make it.
Well, it was right after the storm that we started, but it was great because everybody showed, and Mary Ellen and Jeff showed, who are not really... They don't do shows on the station, but they're friends.
Well, and it's good that everybody showed with that storm.
Well, that's why I thought, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And we just had the best time. We all laughed. We had more than enough food. We had pizza. We had breadsticks. We had no-bake cookies. We had chocolate chip cookies. We had some kind of cake that Nate's... And I know Nate listens to the show. I don't see anybody, but I saw Nate on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Nate listens. Nate, hello. I'm glad you're out there listening tonight. And by the way, I saw that you ran for the first time today. Congratulations. And I saw that your tootsies were a little sore today, but I hope they feel better. The first run is rough.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I started, and I run whenever it's not icy, so I'm in the middle of my running stage right now, and yesterday I ran 2 miles.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, I ran 2 miles because I normally go out and do it, you know, if I'm home, I try to go out, like, between 6 and 7 and do it, and I did yesterday. I went out between 6 and 7, and then it got to be, like, 9:15, and it wasn't dark. And it was still so nice outside. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to go out and do it again. And I did.
It was really nice.
So I had the greatest time yesterday. So, Nate, keep running. Keep at it. Your feet will eventually stop hurting. Mine don't hurt at all now.
That's good. My problem when I run, it's not even my feet. It's, one, my knees, because I've dislocated them a few times. But I get, like, the sharpest pain in, like, my abdomen. Like, I feel like I'm dying.
You
and
know,
it
I'm
to breathe.
I have, and I, you know, this is what I think. You know, I, where I am at life, I've never had a broken bone. I've never had anything dislocated. I don't have aches and pains. When I go out and run, there's nothing that bothers me because I don't have any. I don't know why. I'm. It's strange. I don't know what that is. I'm lucky.
Yeah.
Even if I started having them now, I think people would say, well, you're probably at the age that would happen. But I've never had that sort of thing. I've never had, outside of tonsils and adenoids, I've never had a surgery.
Wow. I have, but...
I don't take any medicine. I would if somebody would prescribe me some, but I just currently am not.
Yeah. I mean, I do, but I have to, so...
No, and if I had to, I certainly would take it.
Well, you know what I did? I lost my EpiPen.
Oh, don't bring this EpiPen up. This thing gives me more stress.
I lost it. I don't know where it is.
This is bad because you're allergic to things like corn.
I know. It was in my car. And then I was like, well, it can't be in like excessive heat. So I took it out of my car because it's getting hot. And I do not know where I put it. I thought I put it in my bag, but it is not there.
This is a big problem. You should really check on that on Monday.
I know.
That's the difference between life and death.
Yeah. And then I went into like my prescriptions online because I need to get it refilled anyway. And it's not even on there that I've even had one. And I'm like, okay, well, I know I've had one. So, yeah, I have no idea.
Do you know the conversations we've had about this EpiPen?
Yeah.
Many. Many, many, many.
Well, I know. It's scary.
Well, why didn't you say something and get this thing refilled?
Well, I have to... It's a mess because I have to call the doctor and then I have to go in and be seen and I don't want to do another allergy test. Those things suck.
On the back?
Yeah.
I've had those.
Because I'm allergic to everything. So then I'm sitting there itchy and you can't like itch because then it spreads.
Here's a funny story. I think my doctor was insane because when I was young, I had one of those allergy tests. And he said I was allergic to certain things, but it was to such a bad degree that he thought I needed to get allergy shots.
Yeah.
So every Tuesday, it's still ingrained in my brain, every Tuesday when I was young, I used to have to go to the doctor's office to get a shot in the arm, and that was supposed to make me feel so much better. And, you know, I don't understand what the circumstance was, but, like, after a year, they were discontinued that I no longer had to get the shot.
Yeah.
And then later in life... I think I was, I don't know what issue I was having, but they said, let's do an allergy test. And I said, well, I know I'm allergic to these things. And they did the allergy test again, and I was allergic to nothing.
Well, that's good. Yeah, they wanted to do the allergy shots for me. But then the doctor said, well, most of the stuff you're allergic to is food, so we don't have shots for those.
Mine, I'm trying to remember what I was allergic to. I was allergic to, I was allergic to smoke. I remember that. I was allergic to house dust.
Yeah.
And I was allergic to... I remember those two being the big ones. It was nothing... It wasn't a severe allergy, like it was going to kill me or anything. But maybe it was going to, because I had to take the shots.
Well, I have, like, the most, rare allergy. Only... Like 10% of the people in the world have this allergy. I'm allergic to an enzyme in dirt. So all fresh fruits and vegetables, I'm allergic to.
You know, if you date a real dirty person, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Yikes.
If you come home, shower first.
You gotta shower first.
I'm gonna have to have like one of those fancy houses with a shower outside. So, I mean, like, dirt can get on me. I just can't, like, ingest it.
Most people don't like to ingest dirt, but I...
Yeah, but, like, even the stuff, like, even if vegetables and stuff are washed, like, the enzyme is, like, in the actual vegetable or fruit. So, it has to be cooked out.
You know what else I was once allergic to?
What?
Caramel. There was a place one time that had caramel sundaes, and every time I had one of those, I would become violently ill.
You know, sometimes I don't like going through the drive-thru with you because I'm always the one driving, and we'll go through, and you'll say some smart aleck comment.
No.
And I'm like going up to pay, and it's so embarrassing.
Is it embarrassing?
Sometimes it's just funny. You're like, today, the whole caramel thing. You're like, well, that's fancy.
Well, tell the people what happened. I don't think they know what happened.
Well, so we go to McDonald's because we were just going to get dessert instead of dinner today. And I said...
microphone got in my way. I had to knock it out.
At least you didn't spill your drink today.
No, yeah. It's got a top on it.
Well, so I asked for a strawberry sundae because that's what you wanted. Well, apparently, they don't have strawberry toppings for your sundae anymore. They just have chocolate and caramel.
Caramel.
And you said, caramel? What's caramel? You mean caramel? Why do you have to be fancy? And I was like, oh.
But you started laughing.
I did. It was so funny. And then we get up to the window. And you're like, do you have caramel? Oh.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of when we went to Nashville. Oh, we talked about that at the anniversary party.
Because
we were naming off places where broadcasts had happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Nashville. You know, it's shocking to me. Remind me to get back to this because I do have a point with this. But this station, and I guess I'm in still sixth anniversary week mode here, but we have broadcast from Manhattan next to Carnegie Hall for
well,
3 days.
Let's do that again.
Oh, that was great. Great. The Wellington Hotel right next door to Carnegie Hall in Central Park.
I want to do that.
That was the best time. We had the unbelievably great time. And the celebrities came down. It was perfect. Went to Rockefeller Center and Rainbow Room and had a martini, and it was great.
Well, let's book it for next year because I'm out of vacation days.
Well, you know what? I really had like this cringe the other day that I have this urge right now to either go to New York or Chicago. And luckily, both of those cities, I mean, I do like doing longer stints.
Yeah.
But I could do those cities kind of like Nashville. I could do them in a weekend. And I know people in both of those cities that would give me a place to do the show.
You know what we should do?
What's that?
We should, like, we should try to get all 50 states in.
Well, what I was saying about the thing, we have, and they've always been great, always big fun. Nashville, we did this year. In 2018, we did Pittsburgh, which was great. We did New York, Manhattan in 2017. We did Cape Cod in 2017. We did Cleveland a bunch because we did the World Series and we did the Republican Convention.
Mm-hmm.
We did, there's one I'm forgetting. We did another city, another big. Oh, we did Toledo with Tony Pacos. We did, I know there's one I'm forgetting. There's the state or something I'm forgetting. It's not Michigan. It's not Indianapolis. But those were the big ones, and they were tremendously fun. The best time.
We should take, like, a week. Like, leave on a Friday, like, after work or whatever. And so, like, that whole weekend, stop in a different state and city every single day, and then get back, like, the next Sunday.
You know what's funny?
It's like a whole, like 9 days.
When we went to Nashville, and we went by car and on a Friday, I don't think we ever had a bad word the entire trip.
No, and I even got us lost.
Yes, and I don't think we had a disagreement. You about made us have a flat tire. I was thinking about that trip recently because of the anniversary. And boy, I'll tell you that I think about the Grand Ole Opry now because I get emails from them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And gosh, that was fun.
You know, it's funny. I'll never forget that tire, though.
Yeah, that tire was a mess.
When you were like, come and check this and make sure it's not flat, I kick it.
It's fine.
It's good. Let's go.
And the rims, the stem was busted, I learned when I got back.
And it's so funny because, like, a couple weeks before is when I, it was the day before is when I got my new car. But a few weeks before, I had been driving my grandparents' car, and that's exactly what was wrong with their tire. So I should have known or even thought about it being that it kept going flat, that it was the valve stem. But
what did I say, rim stem?
It's okay. But yeah, I should have thought that that's what the problem was, and we could have gotten it fixed, but I didn't.
Well, the thing I was thinking about Nashville was when we were there, anytime we would go out and eat or basically do anything in public, and I thought I was being perfectly nice, anytime I did anything that you took as like offbeat, I would, next time I turned on Facebook, you had done some post about me being rude or offbeat to people in Nashville.
Oh, but you were.
No, I was not. I was nice as could be.
Okay.
I wasn't?
Our waitress?
I don't remember what I did to the waitress, but I'm sure it was nice.
No, it was not. She, and it was her own fault, really. Oh my goodness, I don't know what happened there. I don't even remember what happened, but I know that she came up, like, and she asked a stupid question, and you were just, like, you answered it sarcastically, and I was like, oh, great, here we go.
I engaged her in a conversation.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, I remember what it was. You were talking about her. And she came up because you were like, I've been sitting here for waiting for a refill. And she, like, had passed several times and asked if everything was okay, but never took your cup for a refill. And then you, like, you were talking about her, like, bad about her. And she walked up behind you.
I covered it.
Oh, you did. It was so funny. I was just like, oh boy.
Well, and then there was something else allegedly I had done on that trip that was bad. I don't remember what it was.
I don't remember.
But, it, you know, I would read about it.
I'd have to go back and look at my Facebook.
You know, that was a busy time. That month of February, we did Nashville, and then we did Buster Douglas.
And then we stopped talking.
And then we stopped talking for a while. It was fed up time.
I had spent too much time.
Yeah, we had spent too much time together. It was time to part the ways.
No, I think what our problem is we're both so hard-headed and, like, it's our way or no way that we butt heads so easily over everything.
But you know what's funny? There's never a bad word.
Right. I mean, it's never bad.
No, that's
it's
what's
just,
odd.
We're both really stubborn, so when we get mad, we just don't talk. We just ignore each other.
Well, and it's odd, too, because it, you know, you would think there'd be, I don't think we've ever had a fight.
No.
I don't think we've ever yelled. I don't think there's
no,
ever.
No, I mean, I don't think you've ever yelled.
No, I don't yell. You've yelled.
I've yelled a lot.
Yelled a lot. But it's usually, I don't think, like, you're yelling at me. No. I think you're yelling what you want me to do is usually what I interpret that as.
Yeah.
So that's all that happens. But it all works out in the end, usually. And
yeah, you do what I want to do, and then it's fine.
Yeah, it just takes a week. Once I figure out what it is that exactly you want. But it's funny that way, and I don't even remember what the Buster Douglas... Was that the following night? Yeah, it was the following night. We had a...
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't that night.
Right.
Right. That night was actually pretty good. I think we ended up at a nice restaurant that night.
Yeah, we went to Texas Roadhouse.
Texas Roadhouse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so delicious.
That was fun. Yeah. And then we came back here and did a two-hour show that night.
Yeah.
Till like midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning.
I think that's why.
Everybody was highly stressed by that point.
Well, because the computer wouldn't work when we got there. The lady was like, no, you
Yeah, it could have ended bad.
She was like, no, you're too late.
Oh, yeah, that lady was...
She was not nice.
She was wound a little too tight for working in a rec center.
Yeah.
And then at the end, though, at the end of the interview, he could not have been nicer.
Oh, I know. It was great. He's amazing. But, yeah, it was just so... Oh.
Oh, you know what I remember about that? I never write questions, but what I had done, because it was February, and it was the, what was it, 30th or 25th, something anniversary of him knocking out Mike Tyson.
I think it was the 30th.
But I had written...
It was a 30th. Because I remember what I said, and then I thought I should not have said that.
What'd you say?
He said, do you remember this fight? And I said, I wasn't born yet.
Oh, yes. That's right. That was... Well, it was interesting because I had written down the dates.
Yeah.
Because when I did the intro, I wanted to have the dates right.
Right.
So I'd written down the dates, and I'd written down where it was in Tokyo, and I'd written down these, like, bullet points of factual stuff on a piece of paper. And there was so much commotion about getting on the air when I sat down, because we sat in chairs at his desk.
Yeah. You sat in a chair at his desk. I stood up and took pictures and tried to record it. I still have that recording on my phone.
I've never heard it.
It's on my phone.
You should send it to me sometime. Did it turn out okay?
I don't know. I didn't listen
You've
to
never
it.
Never listened to
I
it.
I have not.
I bet it sounds... Because there wasn't a lot of noise in the room.
No. But it...
Well, you still have that.
I do.
I've never heard it. I don't think we ever played it on the station because you never sent it back to me.
I'll send it.
Yeah, send that to me. I might actually get to hear that.
Let me look. Yeah.
Yeah. I know the date because I know the anniversary date. It was February 28th. It was the day before Leap Day.
Yep.
Yep. Because Leap Day was Saturday.
That's so funny.
I've never. It's weird you mentioned that. I've never heard that.
I don't even know. Oh, yeah, yeah, here we go.
Is it there?
Yep.
No, just play a little bit of it now on air. Let's see if it actually sounds okay.
Oh, I don't know if it's going to...
It sounds good so far.
This is Scott Spears.
Let's see how he
sounds. WGH Radio 107.1 FM out of Marion, Ohio, broadcasting live on this Friday night from Columbus. And we are with a legendary person in the Columbus area, in the world, to be true. February 11th, 1990 is a date that will live in a lot of people's minds as one of the greatest days in boxing history. One of the frequent guests of our program, HBO boxing analyst Larry Merchant, says it's the day that made Cinderella look like a sad story. It was the day that James Buster Douglas knocked out the then unthinkably unbeatable Mike Tyson. What a pleasure it is for the first time to be in the presence interviewing the champ himself, James Buster Douglas. Mr. Douglas, what a pleasure it is to be with you.
Thanks for having me.
Mr. Douglas, I want to start with your childhood. Tell us where you were born and where you grew up.
I was born in Columbus, Ohio, April 7th, 1960.
Sounds good. And we've got the whole thing?
We have 32 minutes.
Well, Monday morning, you might get to hear that interview finally back from February the 28th.
I don't know how to pause it.
He sounds good. I can hear him perfectly now.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's all like that because I was, like, moving around because he was talking kind of quietly at some points, and I was trying to, like, not have my phone right in his face.
Okay. Well, how did you do? I don't remember how you took the pictures and taped the interview.
Well, that might be why some of it might not sound great because I was trying to do both.
Or no, wait, didn't we do a pause?
Well, I didn't tape the second hour. I took pictures mostly the second hour.
And that's how it happened, was it? You didn't take any pictures the first hour.
No, not very many.
So the second hour was not about his career.
Right.
It was not about the day.
Right.
It was like we were talking about something else.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think it probably does sound pretty good because I think all you did the first hour was audio it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
good.
What
is your... It's 2006, right?
Yeah. Yeah. What kind of file is that?
M4A.
M4... Well, I'm sure it can be converted, whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm sending it... I'm emailing it to you.
Very cool. I totally forgot that was taped.
Yeah.
I was so ticked by Monday morning, I thought, who cares?
Well, yeah, it was nothing was working. Like our whole system was just down. It got shut off because it was on air, but it was like completely like we went off air at one point.
This is what that intro you heard where I'm trying to give the dates there. Mm-hmm. Okay, I had written all that down on a piece of paper so I would remember it.
Oh, and I was also messaging Sean back here because he was making sure everything was good, and he was like, you need to start over, and I was like, we can't start over.
Well, it was funny because I was so intent on remembering those dates.
Yeah.
And I sat down, and it had been such a stressor to get on the air and everything, and I was like, okay, let's just start. And as soon as I started doing the intro, I don't have this paper. I thought it was laying on the desk, and it wasn't, and I couldn't find it. Do you remember this?
I do.
Do you remember where it was?
No.
Okay, yeah, well. So I get at the end, I'm thinking, I lost. So at the end of the 2-hour interview, I'm thinking, well, where was that paper? And I'd been sitting on them.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had laid it down in the seat.
I don't
remember now. Because we had started to do the interview, and I had it in my hand, and then we had a snafu.
Mm-hmm.
And I laid the papers down in my chair, and when I went back over to start the interview, I sat on top of them and had been sitting on them the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
My keister was very well informed that night, but nothing else was.
But hey, it worked out. Yeah.
You know what I remember that night? For what could have turned into a very rough experience, that turned into a great adventure.
Yeah.
Great pictures, a lot of fun.
His son wasn't there at first. And
did his son ever show? I don't remember.
Yeah, he did.
Did he? I don't think he ever talked to me.
No, he didn't.
I was just with Buster the whole time.
Yeah.
But he could not have been... Now, he
talked to me for, like, a minute.
He wasn't very pleased in the beginning.
Right.
But at the end, he was fine.
Yeah.
By the time it was over, he was very nonchalant and just nice. Yeah. And you took some great pictures that night.
Yeah. I still have them on Facebook.
What?
Some of them.
Yeah, I thought. That was a bad time.
I still have some of them on Facebook. Did you save them when I told you to?
I don't remember.
I mean, I still have them on my phone. They're still saved. I have them.
Oh, you didn't just wipe everything out like
no,
you were going to?
I just took them off Facebook.
Yeah, that was probably the worst argument I think we've had.
Yeah.
Although I don't think it was an argument.
No, I honestly really don't even remember what it was about.
No, but people got very angry.
I have no idea why we were so mad at each other.
No, I don't. Well, I don't remember being mad. I have to be honest.
No, I mean,
you.
I was mad.
You were mad.
Let's be real.
Yeah, I don't remember being mad.
Every time we argue, I'm mad, and you really don't know what's going on.
No, and that adds to your anger, because then you will tell me, why don't you get mad? Why don't you... So it just becomes worse.
Yeah. Oh, it makes me so angry.
Because you want to see me angry.
If I'm trying to fight with someone, I need them to fight back.
And what do I do?
You don't fight back. You just look at me like, what are you talking about?
And I say, okay.
Yeah, and it drives me nuts.
I know. Well, that's my response to everybody. I understand you. Then, so we did the Nashville story. Yeah. But, the 6th anniversary was great because of all these great... People think working on these trips is bad. I love... Because the work is a very little part of it.
Oh, yeah. We had so much fun in Nashville.
Oh, and it's that way every time I go to a city. You know, you just... The stuff around the work is so much fun. I mean, being at Rockefeller Center had nothing to do with work.
Yeah.
But it became a story. That's what was great. It's like Nashville, when we did the two-hour broadcast in front of the Grand Ole Opry, everything that we had visited for 2 days became what we talked about.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
So it's perfect.
Yeah. Touring the Grand Ole Opry was probably, like, the best.
That was one of the most... and I did not think that it would be what I thought it would be.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Very. You know, the other day, that picture's still in my car.
Yeah.
Of being on the stage. Why I haven't taken it out of the car, I have no idea.
Mine's on my desk at work, and I'm never going to see it again because, you know, I may never go back to work.
Gone forever. But no, it's in my car, and every time I move something in the back seat, I see it laying there.
My boots are in your car, too.
They are. There's many things that reside in my car at this particular
place. From Nashville.
Nashville.
You never cleaned up your car.
Well, everything else is gone from the Nashville trip. I don't know why I left that picture in there. Oh, this is a funny story. The other day, my little portable recorder.
Yes.
Okay.
Like your video camera?
No, the audio recorder.
Oh,
the MP3 recorder. Couldn't find it. And it was driving me insane because I needed it for something. And I thought, because I always usually leave it in my car. And I thought, well, maybe it's in my car. And I was trying to think, well, when's the last time I used this? And I thought, oh, no, what if I left it in my old car? My old car's been towed off and sold long ago. So I finally convinced myself that clearly I've left it in the old car.
Right.
Well, then I happened to get on and see a recording from early January. And I thought, well, now, wait a second. I couldn't have left it in the car because I stopped using that car New Year's Eve. So it wouldn't have been in that car. So I thought, okay, well, it's got to be. And I was, when is the last time I used this? When is the last time I used this? You know when the last time I used it was?
Nashville.
Nashville. And you know where it was?
In the trunk?
No. In my suitcase.
You didn't unpack your suitcase?
I did. For some reason, I left that and like brochures in the suitcase.
Oh.
Why I left it in there, I have no idea.
That's funny.
Found it, and there it was. Now, I was so proud of myself that I backtracked and could remember that. Why would I ever look in a suitcase for
idea.
A recorder? But there it was.
That's so funny, though.
Oh, it was so odd. So odd, but very cool that I was able to find it. Oh, I got the. I'm seeing how big this file is.
Oh,
it's a pretty big file.
Probably it's like 32 minutes of audio.
Well, it's like 15... Why does it say Thompson Park?
Because that's where we were. Like, that's where it took place.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even know where we were.
Yeah, my phone just automatically names it wherever we are.
Oh. Well, we're about to go to bed. It's been a good first hour.
It has.
We have a whole another hour coming up here. It's Friday Night Live, and Monday morning you'll probably hear an interview with Buster Douglas.
Yeah.
From February. Only 4 month delay from us to you. Don't I had worry. Totally forgotten you taped it.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it, but.
We did. We just got it
well,
right
I mean,
here on
just
the air.
A little bit,
it was
but
live.
Yeah. Yeah.
You listen to it tonight as you go to sleep.
Probably not.
You like listening? You like listening to the radio?
Oh, that's not. I watch TV.
So do I.
I watch Netflix. I watch The Flash to go to sleep.
We got
to
go to break here. It's Friday night. WWGH Radio. Come back, Bales and myself. We're gonna have a lot of fun.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. The place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2006 series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs.